Secretary, Andy Burnham. Andy, so best speech you've heard ever from a Labour leader?
Well, certainly, when it makes promises like that on the National Health Service, it really was obviously fantastic news for me, but not for me, for the millions of people who depend on the NHS, who work in it. Ed has given me the money now to make it the 21st century service we all want it to be. You know, there's a detailed plan that sits behind this, and I'll be saying more about that tomorrow.
Oh, can you tell us a little bit now?
I can tell you a little bit.
Yeah, a bit of a taster.
Yeah. Well, I'm making quite a big change here. I'm saying that we need a national health and care service. For the first time in its 66-year history, we want an NHS that deals with social care as well. The simplest way I can put it is an NHS that looks out for the whole person, physical, mental, social. Because the problem with the current system is it's fragmented. It doesn't look after... You know, no one person's responsible for all of one person's care. And for families... That means telling the same story to everyone who comes through the door. You know, it doesn't work often if you've got a very elderly mum or dad or, you know, a child who's got complex needs. It really often does not work, and I think they feel no one really listens to them. So that's going to be my big message tomorrow.
Isn't there a big cost to that, though?
Well, there is a cost in terms of making the change to this kind of system, but to be honest, it's the opposite. This is the key in the end to making this health service of ours sustainable in the ageing society, because at the moment we don't spend a few pounds in somebody's home on decent support, and then we let them fail there and drift towards hospital where it costs thousands of pounds, and they become trapped there because we can't get them back home because the support's not in their home. So actually, to be honest, it's the other way around. It's the answer. Social care actually is the key to making the NHS financially sustainable.
Well, I do think there are a lot of people who think that the social care system lets them down, particularly people who have family members with dementia, for example, where I think the care is lamentable at the moment. And of course, that would cost a huge amount of money to put that right all in one go. This is a long-term thing, isn't it? I mean, you're never going to be able to say, right, we're transferring to an NHS and social care service right now. That's not going to be sort of the end of it, is it?
No, and we can't pay for everything. You know, we're be very clear about that, but we can do more to support people in their own homes, and that will, as you say, begin this move towards a national health and care service. And that's where I would want to go. You know, that's where I would see this going in the long term. But it's in the end the right thing to do. You're right, it isn't good enough for people. You know, these 15 minute visits that people get, I mean, what use are they? You know, can you make a cup of tea in 15 minutes? I don't know. It could be a struggle.
They were, to be fair, introduced under your government.
No, sure, I'm not making a political point. I'm actually saying that all parties and all governments have neglected social care to the point where, in England today, it is a malnourished minimum wage, zero-hour system that, if we're all honest, would not provide the care that you would want for your mum, dad, or I would want for mine.
No, and particularly because people are being recruited into this system that have no experience, and they are thrust into it with no training or very little training at all. Often entirely, and I say this and I'm thinking, I'm not trying to tar everyone with this brush, but entirely the wrong kind of person. But what I mean by that is, when Jeremy Hunt, when he first got the job, talked about the fact that we need to bring a bit of compassion back into the system, I think some people who are getting jobs in social care at the moment possibly aren't the most compassionate people in the country.
I think it's both.
Not all it is,
because we see it on Panorama, recently.
Exactly. And I think, but we shouldn't exaggerate it.
No, there are some, but you're right. There's also, though, a lot of others that just are not supported. They're not given the right training. I've got examples in my own constituency where staff have had to buy their own gloves and their own aprons because they're just basically not supported. But often they're decent people who want to do their best. But they are employed by profiteering companies who basically don't really care. And, you know, this is the beginnings of a major change. We cannot meet the challenges of an ageing society with this approach to looking after other people's parents. And my message as well tomorrow will be, how much longer are we going to say to young people who work in care, who look after someone else's mum, dad, brother, sister, that it's the lowest form of work? Lower than the minimum wage, because you don't get paid travel time between your 15-minute visits.
Why are you speaking tomorrow? Because the Wednesday is sort of a bit of a dead day in conference, and sort of if it's a very important subject, and clearly health and the NHS is a really important subject, we heard that this afternoon, your speech would be on the Sunday, Monday or Tuesday. What have they got against you?
It's always been that way. I don't know why. It's been that way for years.
But they've got something against you.
Yeah, possibly. I think, obviously, the economy takes centre stage on the Monday leader's speech. So I think health has the main, you know, the main slot on the Wednesday.
But when you looked at the schedule, did your heart slightly sink?
Well, the hole is always a little thinner, I guess, and you know, there's maybe a few sore heads around.
So what you're trying to say is yes.
The party conference. I don't ever have a sore head because, you know, I've got to behave myself all the way to the end when I give my speech.
Just going back to Ed Miliband's speech, you would have been there last year. You would have witnessed Ed Miliband making that barnstormer of a speech. I thought it was hugely impressive. It cut through. It actually, I think, dominated the political agenda for the following 3 months with what he announced on an energy price freeze. This speech wasn't in the same league, was it?
Well, I would say it was better.
Really? Honestly, hand on heart, nose not growing longer?
Because energy bills are important, don't get me wrong. But what's more important than energy bills is the NHS. It is the top issue. And it matters more to people, I think, than any other issue. You know, in terms of when you say to people, you know, you could say what issue affects the country and people will say, oh, maybe say immigration or something else. But when you say what's the most important issue for you and your family, NHS is the top issue. So Ed has made commitments on the NHS today that mean something, that are about Labour's commitment to the NHS going forward. You know, it's not all about the theatre of a conference. It's about what will this mean for me. And I thought Ed's speech was brilliant at that today. For kids who aren't going to university, an apprenticeship, that is a big thing, a big statement. Self-employed people who might think they don't get many messages out of a Labour Party conference, that is a big thing. So, you know, things that cut through are often things that people like, if I may say, you know, media people might not. You know, some things cut through on the ground differently.
I'm an ordinary person too. One of the last times we spoke was just after the last reshuffle. You got a bit tetchy with me because I was sort of asking you about whether you thought that whether you might be moved. So I'd sort of hesitate to broach this subject again. But there's likely to be another reshuffle soon, I think, on the Labour front bench. Are you confident you're going to stay where you are?
Well, it's a pretty big endorsement, I think, isn't it? When we get a huge amount of investment, when there's not much around to put into a plan that I've been developing for Ed over the last 3 years. And, you know, what I would just want to get over to you is a sense that I've actually used opposition properly. I've taken a real deep look at our time in government, the rights and wrongs, and there were wrongs, and also this current government. And I've come up with a plan here for a shattered service, because it is a shattered service right now, and I'm trying to help it get back on its feet. So I couldn't feel more positive about the future tonight.
You say you've played opposition properly.
I've got a big job.
Maybe others maybe haven't quite so much.
I'm not implying that. No. I'm just saying that I'm the only one actually who is a shadow of his former self.
You've used that one before.
I have used that one before.
You haven't just made that one up, have you?
But
do you still get nervous when you get up and speak at conference?
This is probably about about 6th or 7th major conference speech now. I'd be lying a bit. Of course, you know.
Harriet Harman says she doesn't, but then she's been around a bit longer than you.
A bit longer than me, in the politest way possible. Of course. I mean, I remember saying in the Labour leadership contest that, you know, when you go to a kind of school like I did, as lots of people have, you kind of always wait for the tap on the shoulder, and that'll never leave, I don't think. You know, it's the way it is, you know, it's the way I am. But, you know, I know what I'm about now, I know what I'm doing. And
get that feeling at 4 o'clock every weekday. So, Andy Burnham, good luck with the speech tomorrow. Thank you very much indeed. That's Andy Burnham, the Shadow Health Secretary. This is